Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Because one's got a weasel and other's got a flag. One's on the pole, shove the other in a bag. With the rerun shows and the cocaine nose job, the daytime crap of the folk singer's club.
Welcome in on a Tuesday. It is Fesco in the Morning along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Brian Williams, B-Dub, our musical director and producer. I didn't watch one pitch.
Neither did I. I do too. I'm with you, buddy.
I did hear they hit three home runs off the dude that ghosted his wife.
Yeah, we got to get into that story because I don't think many people know that.
Well, we did talk about when you were gone.
Oh, but, you did? Yeah. Okay, good.
But I didn't know who he played for. I didn't remember who he played for at the time.
I thought it was the guy who played for us years ago.
Kyle Davies.
Yes, it was not.
Zach Davies.
Yeah, ghosted his wife.
He pitched last night for Arizona against the Royals, gave up the three early dingers, but...
Serves him right.
The story late last week was his wife filed for divorce. His ex-wife filed for divorce. He had sent her a text the year prior at like 6 a.m. in the morning and then never talked to her again.
Then that was it. I love it.
Never had any communication. Blocked her number. She had no way to get a hold of him. He just disappeared.
Gone. Like literally sent her a text, we're done, and then blocked her cell phone.
Gone.
And then that was it.
And so she filed for divorce. And then ripped him on the way out.
Yeah, as she should. I mean, you do something like that, you're married to somebody, at least you owe them the face-to-face communication of, hey, we're getting divorced, I'm no longer in love with you, I'm sleeping with somebody else. You know, because that's what he was doing. He was having an affair with somebody else, according to the New York Post, and so he did that and then just absolutely ghosted her. I mean, I just think that's a baggy move. And so he left the game last night. He got struck by a ball, a comebacker. I was looking this morning, Josh, and so he had to leave the game last night with injury, but the damage was already done for Zach Davies with the
wife thing. He sent his team a text and told him he couldn't come back in.
Couldn't play anymore. I'm done. Can't pitch anymore. So he had to leave the game last night because of injury. And, you know, you get up 4-0 and then you go on a 9-1 run with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Did you outscored 9-1 at the end of that game?
Well, what'd you expect?
Yeah, no, nothing more. I mean, but you start to look at the standings and where they are right now. 14 losses is the fewest in the American League, tied with the Tigers. And also what's interesting about that is the Orioles, who are trying to lose this year, have 18 wins, four more than the Royals.
They aren't doing a damn thing. The Royals are trying.
Right.
That's what that does.
That does sting a little bit. The
Royals aren't trying to lose.
Right, no, they're trying to
win.
They're
just losing.
And so at this point in the season, I was telling B-Dub, we hit the quarter point yesterday. Why not just go for broke and just, you know, say screw it and start trading everybody and get to the point where, you know what, at this point in time, winning games, what good does that do you right now? Because you're only hurting your draft position, and the draft is really where you get the players now in Major League Baseball. And so, you know, the Royals right now at the halfway or the quarter point of the season with, you know, 27 27 losses or whatever they are, right? What are they, 14-27, if I'm not mistaken? Look, you're not playing for anything anymore. It's time to start bringing some of the young kids up, and time to cut bait. And tomorrow's an off day. Tomorrow's the perfect time to take Carlos Santana and say, see you later, bring Vinny Pasquantino up and see what you got with him. It's time to look and seriously trade Zach Greinke. It's time to seriously look and trade Whit Merrifield, but not trade these
Greinke
guys.
Greinke didn't help his cause. So
no,
last
he really
night.
Didn't help his cause his, last night. Line, did yeah. not do good last night. Not a good performance for Zach, but he's a Hall of Fame pitcher, Josh. You know, somebody who is looking for an arm that can help them make a little bit of a run at the end of the season, you know, would probably love Zach Greinke in their rotation. And so I think that's what the Royals have to do. It's time, man. You went for it at the beginning of the year. You had the opportunity. You had the players in place. It's not working out. If I'm the owner of this baseball team right now, I'm saying, look, we're done with this season. We are trading our assets, and we are not getting minor leaguers back in return. We're going to start trading these guys for people who have played at the major league level, not Brett Phillips style major league baseball players. But I was telling you before the show, like when the Cardinals make a trade, they get Matt Holliday in return. They get Paul Goldschmidt in return. They get Mark McGwire in return. The Royals get Brett Phillips in return. It's time to start making some big-time trades with players that can come in here and help you at the big league level, because your minor league system isn't stocked enough.
How are you going to facilitate that with?
Well, I mean, you got to look at some of these teams that are like hopefully selling as well and trying to get rid of some of their players.
I'm just curious how you're going to trade guys
Oakland, Washington,
don't play for you for guys that are good from somebody else.
Oakland, Washington, you know, some of these other teams, maybe Baltimore still in the market of trying to lose baseball games. Maybe the Tigers still want to lose some games. The Mariners aren't off to a good start. That's their job, though, Josh. That's not my job. I'm telling you, it'll be prospects coming back in return. We're done with
that.
Well,
that's all you can get.
Well, it's not. Why?
Well, for these,
for a
40-year-old Zach Greinke.
Well, I mean, I disagree.
You're not gonna get anything back for these guys. That's the thing. I mean, we can dump all you want. You're gonna get a bunch of prospects back.
No, it's not acceptable anymore because we've gotten prospects back in return. It's just the same cycle, rinse, repeat, rinse,
well, that's
repeat,
what it's gonna
rinse,
be. Yeah.
Repeat. You know, it's
you have to. They know what has to happen is because you can get stuff back in offseason trades that can maybe factor in, but now you're not going to get anything back
of
any value.
Well, you got Whit Merrifield under a year of control after this year too, so there's some asset in that.
You
may not get much back for Zach Greinke.
You have to do it in the draft, and you have to develop, and they haven't, you know, fully gone through that. We wait for certain waves, but it's not an everyday thing. It's not an every year thing. It's got to be an every year thing where you're getting productivity from players in the minors at this level. That's how it's going to have to happen here. And until it does, you are going to be mired in those things where you're like, oh, just trade it. Let's trade them all. Okay. You got to trade your one good guy for three never heard of them and hope one pans out, two pan out. That's a tough life to be living because we're not going to trade Whit Merrifield and get somebody who's accomplished. Those players are kept by other people. So it is an endless spin cycle. You got to do it through the draft, and you got to get stuff that pans out in your own system.
Well,
they
don't have enough right now. I mean, like, everybody wants to trade Michael A. Taylor. Okay, that's good. I'm all for trading those guys.
Yeah,
both
I'll
those
be,
guys are controllable, but there's no minor league outfielders.
Then our A club will be great. And then in 4 years, maybe they'll we can just keep extending out the we can keep extending out the cycle of when it's going to be contending again.
Yeah, this is where they have to get creative, though, Josh. I mean, this is the way that they've done business for a very long time, and it's clearly not working this time. And it's getting to the point where they're going to have to try to change things up a little bit. Maybe you do have to trade somebody that's a good minor league prospect for a legit major league player. I don't know what you have to do, but it's got to be different than what they've been doing when it comes to making these trades. And I know Dayton doesn't like to look at these guys as assets and players as assets. You have to start looking at that. Players as assets. You really do. You have to stop looking at players as people in this point in time, and you have to look at them as assets, and hopefully you can take the assets and trade them and make them work for your ball club, because right now it's just not working. 14-27 is deplorable. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. And, you know, you hate to sit here and start a show like this, and quite honestly, since neither of us paid any attention to what was going on in the field last night, we don't have any right to talk about the game particularly, but we can talk about what's going on.
I don't want to.
I don't either, but I want to talk about like what's going on inside and how we need to, you know, change things up. The other thing they need a red ass in this locker room. When was the last time the Royals had a true red ass in the locker room who's going to run around and hold these guys accountable? Like, Mike Moustakas was kind of that guy back in the day. You know, he was a little bit of a red ass. I think Vargas was a little bit of a red ass back in the day. Dyson was always one of those guys that kind of held people accountable back in the day. I don't know that they have that guy on the roster right now. And I don't know that they have a guy right now on that roster that truly has the credibility to be that red ass that can go in there and start holding these guys accountable. They need a guy like a Johnny Gomes.
Salvi's the only one that would have that. But do any of us think that that's his personality necessarily?
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. It's like, you know, when
but he's the only one that's got that accountability. Santana can't anymore.
Right. No, he can't play. He can't play. Yeah, that's right? What I'm saying. Like, yeah,
Santana
he can't play.
Could have at some
maybe,
point in time.
But I don't know his personality per se, you know?
Do you really think it's Greinke?
No, that Greinke pitches and then you don't see him for 4 days, right? So, I mean, he's not, I don't think any pitcher could be that guy.
He jogs and then he's. He appears on the bench.
Yeah.
I think a pitcher could if you got the right, you know, you're an ace with some winning in his background could definitely do it.
Well, yeah, it could potentially, but it's not Zach Greinke, right?
No,
I mean,
no.
Maybe a Roger Clemens type of guy could be, you know, that kind of red ass. But I think that's what they've been lacking for a while now. Accountability inside. There's only so much you can pin on the coaches and the general manager, and eventually it becomes those 26 guys in that locker room that have to hold each other accountable. I think you bring up Salvi, and you're right. He's the one with the credibility right now, right? But it's like when Jerry was dating Aunt Becky, and she said, get mad, and he got mad, and everybody laughed, and nobody believed him, and nobody gave him the credibility of getting mad because it was totally outside of his personality. I think that's kind of the way Salvi would be. Like if all of a sudden Salvi got mad, you look at him and go, what? That's not you. You can't get mad at us. We're always in a good mood.
Or if he finally gets mad, then you know he's mad.
And there could be that. That could be the other one too. But you know,
like it takes a lot to get him mad. When he's mad, okay, yeah. you're like, oh, that person yelled at me.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's time to go. But it's too late for yelling anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's too late. You're right. But I think, you know, when you
but
build
in terms of a tone, yeah, you'd like to have someone that could check
the players, check the other guys. I think and that goes for every team. I mean, whether it's baseball or football or basketball, whatever sport you're playing, you need a guy that's going to be kind of like the cop of the locker room. That's going to be the guy that's going to hold the other players accountable. That's going to be the guy that walks around the room and goes, what are you doing here? Like, what's going on? Come on, pick your ass up. Start playing better. And I don't know that the Royals necessarily have that guy.
I'd even take this
roster.
Guy right now.
Who? What guy? You?
No, this.
Oh, yeah. Tyrann Mathieu? Yeah, throwing your arms up in the air? He'd be good to have
somebody
in the
locker room
right now. Somebody
walks out the field at the end of an inning with our arms in the air?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, crap, that guy's not going to hold anybody accountable now either because they're not going to listen to that guy.
Total sidebar, I was watching something on NFL Network during the show yesterday, and it was a highlight of the Chiefs getting escorted by the Raiders. I think it was a couple of years ago, the time the Raiders beat him and drove the bus, and there's a picture of Tyrann Mathieu just got his arms up in the air, and you go, I wonder why they didn't want to bring him back.
Think that act got a little tired.
Got act a little tired, but you need.
But for a while,
he could
check people.
You could
yeah.
check people, yeah. And I just don't know that they have a player that's going to go out there and check everybody and say, "Hey, man, you're not pulling your weight around here. You need to step your game up a little bit." I just don't know that they had that, and quite honestly, I think every single team needs that. Single team needs a guy like that's going to hold everybody else accountable.
But I'm with you. They trade an established guy on their team for someone who's accomplished and a red ass.
Yeah.
Would be great.
Would be a great
addition.
Yeah, it would be great to
I don't
bring
know if
a red
that's
ass
feasible,
in here.
But that'd be a great addition.
But they need it. It's a big missing piece right now for this team because your boss can only do so much. Eventually, you need peer pressure, right? You need your peers holding you accountable in that locker room. Whit Merrifield's not that personality. Andrew Benintendi's not that personality. Michael A. Taylor's not that personality. Salvi's not that personality.
They're nice. All of them are nice.
Nicky Lopez. I mean, they're all nice guys, right? Who's the ass? Who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be the red ass in this clubhouse and start looking around and saying, we got to hold each other accountable. But I think you're right. At 14 and 27, it's probably too late. You needed that guy when you were 2-7 or whatever it was at the beginning of the year where you could still kind of right this ship and get it back on the tracks. But I think those days are gone. And I think now it's all about paring down this roster as many veterans with contracts that you can ship out of here and allow for the young kids to come up. But who are those young kids? You got Pasquantino and Prado that are ready right now. They play the same position.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I guess one plays first, one DHs.
One DHs. Whatever it is. Yeah. Whatever it is. So you got to trade Dozier and get rid of Santana. And Dozier's got, what, another year of control underneath him, I think, or maybe two.
Maybe two.
I don't know. Is that another one of those, like, contracts that never end that we're like, why is this guy still under contract? You know, like we did with Ian Kennedy. So you have to look at a situation where how do we get some of these young guys up that are ready? Is Vinny Pasquantino ready to come up to the big leagues? I'm sure he believes he's ready to come up to the big leagues. Get his ass up here. Is Nick Prado ready to come up to the big leagues? I'm sure he believes he's ready to come up to the big leagues. Get him up here. But you got to get rid of Dozier. You got to get rid of Santana. And that needs to start happening now. Wednesday, again, is an off day. Let's make something happen on Wednesday and start getting some of these younger kids up here to give us a glimpse of what may potentially be happening in the near future.
The 23, 24, and an option for 25.
Who's that?
Dozier.
Oh, my God.
Right. $7.2 and $9 million. You know, I don't know if I want that or not.
See, he's got a couple of years left.
Yeah.
You should be able to get something for that, though, as opposed to just a prospect.
Somebody would also have to want that.
Yeah, well, he's not having a bad year.
No,
this year,
but I mean,
you know,
do you want a 30-year-old guy that's okay, that doesn't do all, I mean,
he's like a 280 hitter right now.
I don't find that to be a lot of value.
No, I mean, you're
like somebody that wants some flexibility, I guess. He can play a number of positions, and he's an okay hitter. How about that? Anybody want it?
Anybody want
going
this guy?
Going once, going twice.
Nice bat to come off the bench, for, you know. But, I mean, Bobby Witt Jr.'s I'm just going through the top 10 prospects right now, according to Baseball America. Bobby Witt's already up. MJ Melendez is already up. Prado and Pasquantino are 3 and 4. Lacy's 5. Isbell is 6. Domo Arigato, Frank Mozzicato. He comes in at number 7.
Just started pitching,
right?
I believe.
Ben Cudron, he's number 8. John Heasley is already up at the big league ball club, and Jonathan Bolin. Those are your top 10 prospects right now.
Well, so there's only, here.
So, right, there's only two position players, Prado and Pasquantino. They play the same position that are out there. Michael Massey, I heard Vern talking about as a second baseman. He may be ready, but not this year, to come up to the big league level. And so they've got a lot of pitchers. They need some outfielders right now.
Nick Lofton,
so,
let's go.
Yeah, you bring up Nick Lofton. That's your guy. Been your guy for a long time. Let's go put him in center field, right? Let's see what he can do.
Meanwhile, worry, feel good about the Chiefs. Next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. The show first to breaking news in Kansas City.
So apparently, if you've pooped yourself on Lucky Charms, go to iwaspoison.com.
610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't know about you, but I feel good.
Meanwhile, what do you feel good about?
I feel good about a lot of things. Not the weather today. It's supposed to rain.
It's good for your
good for the lawn.
No, what was your stuff that wasn't growing? Your cilantro.
Cilantro. I was told I overwatered. It's dead. It's shot.
It's gone.
It's gone. It's history. I'll go buy
another
plant.
Batch.
Yeah, well, you're a good farmer then. You either had too much water, or not enough.
I know it's crazy.
That's your green thumb. That's
I guess I overwatered. So leave the cilantro. Now I'll grow some more cilantro, and then it'll be not enough water, and I'll go. I don't have any cilantro.
How you. That's the growing
that's
cycle.
That's the cycle of life, right? Yes. That's the growing curve there. But the grass is starting to come in real good. Now I need to put a little bit more soil down in a couple of spots that didn't grow. I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, I see this spray on grass that they advertise on TV in the morning. And she says, no, I don't think we're going to do that. I said, why not? It's growing on a piece of concrete up here on the television.
You spray it and forget it.
Has anybody tried the spray on grass? Has anybody, do you know anybody that's ever tried it? Because it looks great on TV,
so
right?
It looks so fun to put down.
It really does, right?
Because
right.
it's just amazing. A big paint sprayer.
Yeah.
Looks like you just go... And then, boom, grass grows.
It said within 7 days, so and it wrote on a concrete slab.
It looks fun to do, but I've never tried it.
Are you willing to try it? Do you think it would ruin your lawn? Like, that's where I am. Like I care about my lawn being ruined. Yeah. But, we've got a couple of bare spots, and I'm like, I wonder if this spray on grass. Because now, if you act now, you get two of the spray on grasses for $19.99.
There's more?
So if you want to split it, Josh, go in $10 a piece. I'll give you a can of spray on grass. And I don't know if it's like the spray on hair where once it rains, it washes away or anything like that.
Dye running down your face and the back of your neck.
So should we get it? Should we try it? Has anybody tried it? 913-576-7610.
Sounds like a chia pet type thing.
Kind of, sort of. Like, is it legit grass?
Right.
That's what I want to know. Is
I
it
think
good
we should
grass?
Bring it here in studio and do a little science project. See if it works.
But I don't know if were we going to just spray it all over the floor?
Yeah, we can get a brick.
I could spray it over Carrington's mess on the floor.
Yeah, he's a slob. By the way, I went into the other studio. There were about four pens and forks all over the floor. Did he come in here on the weekend and chew pens?
Just grow it over the top of that.
Right.
Yeah, we can grow it anywhere. Can you grow it on your head? You know, for balding. Can we spray it on our head? It looks amazing.
Instead of hair plugs, we got grass.
But we'd have to water it still, though. I mean, if it grows on concrete, you got to water it.
You still got to water it,
yeah. Even if we, snuck a little patch of grass here in the back of the studio and, grew it, we'd have to water the
floor. We'd have to water the floor.
I don't know if that'd work or not.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
Or maybe put it over by Alex's desk.
That leaks over there. Or just put it in the KMBZ studio since there's nobody ever in there. We could do that, too.
Or we could put it in the trash can so nobody ever empties the things.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
Throw it in there, see if we can get a science project.
Or in Sphincter's office. He never comes in.
Yeah, he's
just growing on his desk. He comes in next week. He's got a whole yard growing.
Well, hey, this looks good, guys.
When he interjects stuff, you know.
This looks good. Let's try it.
Yeah.
This comes from a Raider question, but I think it's very valid. Raiders, one of the Raiders beat writers did a poll. What position do you feel best about? And I did look at it because I was like, you can't possibly be feeling good about a lot of stuff, can you? If you're the Raiders.
Well, you feel good about where you play. You like Las Vegas. You know, your owner has a bad haircut, though.
What position do you feel most comfortable about? Quarterback, led by starter Derek Carr. I'm like, okay. Good luck with that. But it got us thinking, what position do you feel best about other than the quarterback? For the Chiefs.
Yeah, other than the quarterback, is always the caveat, with everything,
right? About the quarterback.
I think for me, it's the offensive line. I feel great about the offensive line. And the reason I feel great is because they showed us last year that they could go out there and obviously play as rookies, and now they're going to be in their second year. But I also don't think we give enough credit to Andy Heck, the offensive line coach. He seems to be the unsung hero of this coaching staff. He seems to be the guy that nobody ever wants to give credit to. Like, oh, yeah, Andy Reid does a great job. Yeah, Andy does.
All the time.
Andy does, but we don't, like, as fans, right? We never talk about the offensive line coach. Well, or should you, right?
Not a lot of people on offense are ever going to get credit when Andy Reid's there. No.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, Andy Reid does a great job with the offensive line. But how about Andy Heck, who's working with those guys every day? And as bad as it was in the Super Bowl, hey, Andy Heck was still able to cobble together an offensive line to get you to the Super Bowl, you know, that year. So I'm just really, really confident. Other than the quarterback, the position I feel best about right now is that offensive line. And I think it's only going to get better.
And you – well, are you plugging in the rookie at right tackle?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. So
that's
Josh,
why you feel good about it.
Because
I don't. I actually don't care who plays right tackle. Yeah. I'm still good with the offensive line. You know what I mean? Like,
give me a right tackle.
It's Andy Reid and company and Andy Hack and company. Come on. I don't care. I'm not concerned about right. These aren't the days of like the turnstile guy or the guy that
69
that I did that terrible video of.
Was it Barry Williams or something? Wasn't there
Barry Richardson was the problem one, but then the other guy that I did the video of, I don't remember
what was his name.
I don't remember.
Lars Lardsenstein or something. What the hell is that guy's name?
Just give me somebody on the right side. You guys battle it out. I'll trust you. You decide which one of them's the best and you're good at right tackle.
Who was Barry Williams?
Wasn't he a Brady?
Oh, he was Greg Brady. That's who it was. Yeah.
Right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. It might be.
It was Greg Brady, yeah.
I was trying to lead you down a different path.
Yeah, I know.
My bad.
The position I feel great about, wide receiver.
Okay. Look at you.
Pass catchers.
Yeah, I could get on board with
I'm fine. Yeah, no Tyreek Hill. It's just going to be different. I bet you the numbers are going to be the same. The total Patrick Mahomes numbers, barring injury, are going to be exactly the same as they were this year.
Probably
he's going to be same realm, about 4,800 yards, 37 touchdowns. Hey, and I hope his interception number is low, but his interception number after his bad start, ridiculous throughout the remainder of the season, right?
Yep.
So it's going to be around 40 touchdowns. It's going to be a 4,800, 5,000. It's going to be around there every single time.
Right.
Just going to be distributed differently. And they got a lot to distribute to, which I like.
Yeah, the internet warriors right now are coming after you saying you feel good about the wide receiver position. They do not like to hear that. That is a blasphemous comment by you.
Hey, Juju's got something to prove.
Sure he does.
Right?
McColl's got something to prove.
MVS probably got a little chip on his shoulder, too. Hey, I'm leaving Aaron Rodgers here. You guys thought I was okay around Aaron Rodgers. Well,
right.
Let's see it now. They drafted a kid. Mecole Hardman's make or break probably for him.
Yeah.
Got a lot riding on it. Travis Kelce going to be Travis Kelce. And they got good depth. I mean, I'm good with that spot.
If Travis Kelce is Travis Kelce without Tyreek Hill, then Travis Kelce probably needs to go knock on the door of Brett Veach's office.
Needs to avoid eye contact with Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce signed a sweetheart of a deal for the Chiefs. I mean, and probably at the time when he signed that deal, he didn't realize he was signing a sweetheart of a deal.
If they ignored Tyrann Mathieu last year, which was the belief,
right? Like, yes.
At some point, Tyrann claims that nobody.
Yeah, they ghosted him.
They know how to do it.
They Zach Davies.
They know how to do it. Do it again.
Do it again.
Because Travis should be knocking on your door demanding more money.
We don't know of a Travis Kelce of here. I'm sorry, sir. Yeah. You're not allowed in, but we'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah. Dub, what's your spot?
Mine is linebacker. You know, no Neiman this year, no Hitchens to get in the way. I really enjoy Bolton and Gay together. And then you got the number 5, Leo Chanel, coming in. Really excited to see them take the next step. I've been really impressed by Bolton and Gay, and barring injury, I think we should have a stellar year at linebacker.
I was an Anthony Hitchens guy. I really liked him, and Ben Neiman, he served a purpose for a while there, but you know, now that he should be out of the way. But the linebacker core for me is all about Nick Bolton. I mean, I just love watching that kid play. You know, it's kind of football geeky to say, I like the middle linebacker, that guy with the green dot on his helmet. But man, I mean, you talk about like a ball hawk, not from an interception standpoint, but he just knows where the ball is on every play and makes tackles. Like, he's going to go down, in my opinion, as one of the most productive Chiefs draft picks of the Brett Veach era. And we look back and we'll start like ranking who are the best draft picks of the Brett Veach era. Nick Bolton is going to be on that list. You know, I don't know who the number one pick on that list is right now for the Brett Veach era. And I have to think about that and contemplate it. You know, maybe, I don't know, who would you say right now is the number one draft pick of the Brett Veach era? because it's not Mahomes, because he was technically under John Dorsey when they drafted him. So you have to start like what 2018 draft and move forward. The best draft pick of the Brett Veach era. There have been a lot of really good draft picks. I mean, you can make the case for Creed Humphrey. You can make the case for Trey Smith. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you can make the case for in the Brett Veach era. But I think by the time it's all said and done, looking back, Nick Bolton is going to be in that conversation, probably top three Brett Veach draft picks of this era. That's how good he is. And if he becomes one of the top three picks of the Brett Veach era, you've got yourself a long-term middle linebacker that's Derek Johnson 2.0.
Probably Creed,
and
that's what I was probably Creed say. At this point.
Creed at this point is probably the best one, yeah.
Le'Jarius Sneed?
Sneed could be a good one, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say he reminds me a lot of Derek Johnson, the way he plays the game. Just his instincts are on another level right now, and I'm glad that he's going to get the opportunity to, you know, be the quarterback of the linebackers, and that's the way it should be. Let him set the table and run around like a mad dog and make plays.
Now, with you mentioned those two guys out of the way, does that open the door firmly for them to allow them to play more?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's where my hiccup was last year. Like,
yeah, that was
with Gay
drawback.
And Bolton, you mean?
Yeah,
they had the other guys in there.
Go.
Let them play.
They get the majority of the snaps. Let's go. Let's see how that looks.
You're a three-down linebacker, I think.
See how that looks.
Right? Don't you think Gay and Bolton should be three-down linebackers? Absolutely. Yeah. Who else is taking those reps?
I felt
right
there
now?
Was too much rotation at linebacker.
Yeah.
And at times, maybe too much rotation on the defensive line.
Yeah. But if you have the talent at those positions, I don't have a problem with the rotation. The problem is the Chiefs. Once you got past Chris Jones and Derek Knight, you're not much talent.
I want those guys to play a lot.
Yeah.
For whatever reason they didn't, I would like that to happen.
You know why? Because you had other guys on the roster that were making some money that you weren't ready and you wanted it. They were still young. Look, Bolton was still a rookie last year, Josh, as good as he was. Let's not forget, he was still a rookie last year. So you had the veteran guy in Anthony Hitchens, who was a great leader. I mean, Anthony Hitchens, you couldn't ask for anything more out of a guy, right? He was like the Alex Smith of the linebackers. And Anthony Hitchens will get more credit in 10 years, just like Alex Smith is getting right now. Anthony Hitchens will get more credit the further away we get from Anthony Hitchens.
Whatever the trust factor is, get him in your trust circle and play him.
Mm-hmm.
Enough.
Yeah, I
play
think
him
so
a lot.
Too. Yeah, I think so too. So, yeah, the best draft pick of the Brett Veach era, we got Sneed, we got Trey Smith, you mentioned Creed Humphrey. I mean, there's been some really, really good ones over the last couple of years that have really formed the backbone, if you will, of this team. And so that's what you have to do in the draft. If you get production out of every single draft and you don't go years with going, who are these guys?
It'd be really nice if the best one is out of this class. That's
sure.
I hope.
Karloftis, is that who you want to be the best one?
You don't care. Either one of them.
McDuffie, Karloftis, Sky Moore. I mean, the names on the first three picks are just like, whoa,
yeah,
let's
Moore
go,
would
right?
take heat. Moore would take heat off you. Karloftis would probably elevate you the most. And if McDuffie was a guy that just solidified a spot for a number of years, and then we don't have they don't really care about the corners.
Right.
If that takes care of that, you got to hit. You got to hit on your hands.
Yeah, you do.
You want to go see the Chiefs? Well, it's going to cost you. Next.
Uh-oh. Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The AFC West is really expensive. It's going to be the best division in football this year.
It's shaping up that way, I think.
And it's going to be the most expensive tickets in the NFL as well. The average price of a Chiefs home game this year is fifth most expensive in the NFL.
Yes, on the secondary market.
On the secondary market at $354, according to Logitix.
Isn't that eye-opening when you see that price, Josh? $354 right now on the secondary market to get into a Chiefs game. That's crazy, crazy expensive. And it's not that far behind the teams in L.A. and Miami. And the Raiders secondary market ticket is $595. And that is obviously because that has become
a destination.
Yeah, I think it's the destination now in the NFL. If your team is traveling and you go on the road to watch your team, where are you going to want to go watch your team play? You're going to want to go to Las Vegas, right, and see your team play out there because there's so much to do and there's so much going on and you can have a great trip. Everybody likes going to Las Vegas, and so that's why that one is up there because it has become the premier destination. But also Kansas City is now becoming that kind of premier destination and the place to be seen, you know, in the NFL.
Because of the four that are in front of the Chiefs, you get it.
You get it.
Raiders, Miami, and the two LAs.
Right.
Okay, I get it.
Couple of new stadiums
and then
in Miami.
What doesn't belong?
The Chiefs.
Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas
City.
You're
like, okay, you're here for football.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You're here to watch the game, yeah, and you're here to experience the atmosphere. And, you know, I just, you know, realized from talking to enough people, you know, out at Arrowhead, there are a lot of people, Josh, that come in, and a lot of rich people that come in on private jets. Somebody told me, go by the downtown airport on game day and watch all of the private jets that are flying in for the game that come from elsewhere that aren't living in Kansas City, that may never have been Chiefs fans, but they just want to be here.
Outlying little airports,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the Johnson County Airport, the Lee Summit Airport.
Yeah, Lee Summit, I'm told, is a
big one, too.
Yeah.
Is it really? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So, like, people are flying in that 10 years ago, they weren't Chiefs fans, but Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid created this, you know, brand that people want to be a part of. And the one thing that people want to be a part of is fun and winning and a good time. And you get that at Arrowhead Stadium. You get the best atmosphere in the NFL. You get the best quarterback in the NFL. You get the best stadium in the NFL. You get the tailgating. You get all of that stuff. And you can come here to Kansas City and do it. And look, there are a lot of people outside of our tax bracket, Josh, that do weird things that I never thought would exist because I couldn't even explain how to do something like that. But there are so many people that come in on those private jets for just Chiefs games that never been to Kansas City, not a Chiefs fan, but they know this is where they want to go. And that drives the price up for those tickets. And it's cool to see, you know, from that standpoint, that it is such a coveted product and people want to be here and see Arrowhead and see Patrick Mahomes and see the Chiefs. Like, it is becoming the place to be in the National Football League. Now, people here, the ticket prices have gone so high, and that's why you have to try to get in and buy them, you know, when the Jackson County tickets go on sale and single game tickets go on sale. That's why they encourage, if you can, to buy the season ticket. But I just think I love the fact that we have become the place to be in the National Football League, and everybody and their brother wants to be here, because think back about 10 years. It wasn't like that 10 years ago.
But if you're in the camp of going, boy, I would rather we weren't the place to be, I don't blame you at all.
Correct.
I had a buddy
who
comes for one game a year, mm-hmm, and he and his family come for one. He doesn't live in town, whatever. And
How far away does he come for?
It's like probably about 6 hours or
drive,
so, 7 hours.
Drive, does he have a
private
drive. Jet?
No,
okay.
They drive. And he texts me, goes, oh, I got tickets. I don't remember which game it was now. I'd have to look.
Yeah.
And he's like, got a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. And he tells me the deal. And I'm like, that's a good deal in the NFL these days. He's like, yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
I forget it was like 270 or something.
270 a ticket.
And I'm going, that you consider that a deal now?
Yeah.
I'm like, God, I love the NFL.
I do too. And
because they can just do whatever they want to you.
Well, it's crazy though. But if you're going to go to one game a year, right? If that's what you're going to do for your entertainment dollar, then, you know, $270 a ticket. All right, that's good. I was expecting to pay more. I only go to one of these per year. A buddy of mine, the day the schedule came out, I'm coming to the Bills game. Where do I need to sit? Where do I need to get tickets? How do I need to do it? I said, here's what you need to do. Here's where you need to go. I told him to sit in the gold seats because he's bringing his family and whatnot, wants to have a great type of experience. I
said, he's going to spend more than that.
Yeah, he's probably going to spend more than that, but didn't care. Did not care what it was. I'm coming to this game. This is my plan. Call Tammy at the West and she'll take care of your rooms and you can get your tickets and pay what you want. But people are not afraid to pay a price to watch something that is epically awesome. And that's where the Chiefs are right now. People are not afraid to pay the price to go to a game in Las Vegas because you want to see that stadium. People aren't afraid to pay a price to go watch the Rams. They're Super Bowl champs. The Chargers, they've got Justin Herbert, and they're going to be 9-7, and it's going to be great for them. And then Miami's Miami, right? 9-8. Yeah. And then Miami is Miami. You go for the atmosphere of what Miami is all about. And then, oh, yeah, there's a game. But that's becoming a place to be seen now, too. And they got Tyreek Hill, and they've made some upgrades down there. And so got a new coach. People are excited about that. So that's what the NFL does. People are not afraid to spend for a product that's worth spending on. And that's why they can get these prices, and that's why they can charge this kind of stuff, because the demand, Josh, is there. If the demand wasn't there, these prices wouldn't be anywhere near where they are right now.
No,
people
are
willing to pay.
I know. They're just amazing.
Yeah.
They're amazing how they can continue to get that out of you. So, it's going to cost you if you're going to go to Arrowhead. Now, it is dynamic as well. So some games aren't. You know, will be more affordable.
Sure.
You'll have the premium games. The Bills game will be a premium game, those types of things. But you'll be able to find, the games you want to talk your kids into wanting to go to.
Yeah.
That's how I find it. You're not deciding which opponent we're going to see. It's based on dynamic pricing, which game you guys go to.
I do like this from the text line from the 816. It's a bit much. $100 is the max. Can you even get in for $100 anymore? I mean, I'm asking that as a legit. Well,
not in the secondary market.
I don't think you probably could. I would imagine even an upper deck ticket right now is probably going, you know, for
with
something
fees,
more than
probably
that.
$100.
Yeah, probably
for,
so.
For the cheapest game.
Right. Here's from the 660. I would also have to say that about 95% of Chiefs fans would like the yellow seats gone, because that's not where the experience is at all. I hate to tell you this. You're probably going to have triple the amount of yellow seats at the new stadium.
Yeah, the stadium's going to have more of those yellow seats, actually.
It's going to be more of that and less of the upper deck. Yeah. Got
to
have a lot less of the upper deck tickets and more of the yellow seats. That's where they make their money.
That's where the spending will come.
That's where the cash comes in, yes.
So we saw this story yesterday and we had different reactions. Is it stadium envy, or be careful, this is what's happening next for the Chiefs? Possibly.
Yeah.
The Washington Commodes paid more than $100 million for a stretch of land in Virginia.
That's right. Fans are upset. They don't like the location right now. Maryland people are not going if they build it in Virginia, Josh.
Correct. So a stadium site as well as retail, restaurants, apartments.
Mm-hmm.
They paid for 200 acres at about $100 million.
Yes, right.
That's what, again, another team is doing. Another example of another team is doing, to buy a plot of land in order to develop other things besides
the stadium. I mean, you mentioned a couple of those things. 60,000-seat dome stadium, so it can be used throughout the year, as well as the team's practice facility, an amphitheater that seats between 15 and 20,000, a small indoor music arena, a high-end retail shop, bars and restaurants, and residential living. The roof would be translucent and the stadium's facade could change colors. It would be white during the day and, for example, burgundy at night. Who the hell cares, right?
They're just throwing you other stuff that they're going to do.
Right, but it's the other stuff.
Yeah,
but that's the blueprint. Yeah, yeah. That's what the Chiefs want to do. Look at the sports complex right now, that land. Is that land big enough to encompass all of what they're going to do in Washington, D.C.?
No.
Right? No, it's just not. And the Chiefs are not going to stand by when they build their new stadium, Josh, in my opinion anyway, and let others do it better than them. They are going to be on the ground floor of doing it the best they possibly can. And they're not going to say, well, yeah, we didn't do it as good as Washington. We didn't do it as good as this. Or we didn't do it good. No, they are going to take it to the next level. And so you're going to have an amphitheater. You're going to have a music arena, all this stuff out there to generate money for the Commodes. And that's what the Chiefs want to do. They want the shopping. They want the hotels. They want the retail. They want the amphitheater type stuff. And if I'm the Chiefs right now, I'm looking for the biggest plot of land that I can possibly find that gives me the opportunity to do the most, to generate the most money for our franchise and for the Hunt family.
And then my second thought was, they're spending $100 million, they're going to kick this guy out?
Yeah. Sorry, man. He got to go. He took money from the owners. Had nothing to do with all the other scandalous behavior.
They're
going to
let
money
him
from
just
the owners.
Drop $100 million on land and then kick the guy out?
Probably so.
Oof.
Buyer beware.
Or he better start breaking ground. Yeah. It sounded bad for the Royals before the season, but you'd take this bet now. Next.
This This is Fesco in the Morning. Preferred 2-1 over other competing dentists. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Now, before the season started, you gave me this number. I go, no way. I don't want that number. I'm not satisfied with that number. I'm taking the over. Now I give you the number, and you're probably wanting to jump on it.
Jump.
The number was 69.5. A half better than nice.
Mm-hmm.
For the Royals. Win total. If you could just take the number right now, just 69.5.
If you told me the Royals right now would win 69.5 games, would you take it
in a heartbeat?
I did, yes. I would absolutely grab it because it means that you didn't lose 100 games, and they are steamrolling towards 100 losses right now.
I gave you 70 and 92
yeah,
right now.
I'll take that right now. Yeah, that would if they go 70 and 90, would it be 70 and 92 right now? Wouldn't you take that right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
And ultimately, at the end, you look at it and you'd be disappointed
right.
because that's not contending. That's not anything. But would I take 70 right now? 69 right now? Yes. Yes, you would.
That means they go 56 and 65 the rest of the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You take that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would absolutely take that. And you would say, wow, they started off slowly, but they picked it up and found a way to get to 70 wins this year. And they found a way to avoid the 100-loss season. But that's where we are right now at the quarter pole of the season. We're talking about ways to avoid 100 losses with this baseball team.
Because pressed, I'd say under, for sure.
For sure, yeah. Right now, if you could guarantee me 70 wins, I'm signing up for that right now.
Yeah, I was guaranteed over to start the year.
Right, guaranteed
over. Give me like 75.
Right, come
80.
On. It's a better team.
Push for 81.
Yeah.
Heck, surprise me. Go 90.
Go
whatever.
90. Let's go. Right.
Now it's
70.
I'm taking the under.
Yeah. Probably would take 100, the under.
I think 100 losses.
Yeah, probably so. Unless they figure out a way to turn it around. I was talking to my buddy Joe yesterday, who can't pick Survivor League teams, and says, I think the Royals will get the 500. I go, what makes you think that, sir? Why are you thinking that? And he goes, I don't know. I just feel how can they be this bad? And I go, that is the answer that everybody gives.
I mean, I love the optimism.
Right?
Yes. I love the optimism. He goes, yeah, I think I get to 500. Okay, so starting tonight, then you win 13 in a row.
Yeah.
Okay. Or they need to go on stretches where they win like, 7 of 10 a bunch of times.
Right.
How feasible is that?
Well, they've already had four game or more losing streaks since the season started.
Yeah. I think it's like 3-4s and a 5.
Yeah.
I think is what it
is. Something like that. Right. Well, what are they in right now? How many are they lost in a row right
this
now?
This would be 5, right?
Tonight or yesterday? I don't know. I've lost track.
Yesterday. Right? Everyone, that was the four-game losing streak ending in?
Was that the four-game losing? So it would have been 5 in a row right now? So, yeah, I mean, if you told me right now that the Royals will win 70 games, will you take that? At this point of the season, you bet I would take that. But I don't want to be having these conversations. That's the problem. And I think to Joe's point, you look at the lineup still. Like, you still look at this lineup and you go,
I know.
What is it like? He goes, Salvi's going to start hitting again, isn't he? Well, he's got to play first. And he goes, well, Whit Merrifield's going to start hitting again. These guys didn't just forget how to hit. And that's what you got to kind of, Josh, if you will, hang your hat on, that you're looking at a situation
so
where you
got five. So 2 5s and 2 4s.
And 2 4s. And we're a quarter of the way into the season, and you've had 2 5-game losing streaks and 2 4-game losing streaks.
Correct.
Yeah, that right now, 70 would be a godsend.
Steal.
Would be a godsend if they could get to that number right now. But they're going to have to find a way to string games together. I just don't know that they're capable of doing it right now unless the offense starts to come along and figures out a way to, start producing runs and the bullpen doesn't give it up every Sunday. I mean, come on.
There's unfortunately, there's nothing that screams streak in a positive manner other than baseball.
Right.
Other than dumb baseball luck.
Right, exactly.
Which I don't think the Royals have any of that.
No, I don't think they do either.
Like, everything has to be perfect.
Perfect, yes.
Or it just doesn't happen. And they had 4 runs in the first last night, right?
Four runs in the first. 4 in the first, and they were outscored 9-1 the rest of the way.
Okay.
3 bombs.
Stuff has to go perfect.
Yeah.
And I don't count on it going perfect enough to get anywhere near 500 again.
Right.
What were they, 2-0? 2-1?
2-0.
When it happened, and I'm like, this may be the high water mark,
right,
above 500.
Yep.
I was hoping to be so wrong on that
one. And we were joking.
Yes.
You know?
Totally joking.
Yeah, totally joking.
We were ready for the beat up summer shape up, and you know, we wanted them to compete with me in some way, shape, and form.
Right.
But right now it's, we may have to do the double up.
The good news is, though, that Ryan O'Hearn is not getting many at-bats anymore.
And
that is the good news. I mean, last week we told you on the show, I think it was last Wednesday, that Ryan O'Hearn is 2-for-25 batting in the cleanup spot. Carlos Santana last week was 2-for-20 batting in the cleanup spot. I don't know if that's changed with him. Ryan O'Hearn's only had 2 at-bats since we released that stat on the air. And so that is, you know, pretty remarkable that they're finally realizing, okay, Ryan O'Hearn probably does not need to be in the lineup. But he's another guy that you look at, and I hate to have him as the whipping boy, if you will, but get him out of here too. I mean, him and Santana and Dozier, and clear the way for Prado and Pasquantino to come up and see what these young kids can have. Let's learn. Let's figure it out. Let's see what they can do. And get him up here to the big league level. And to touch on your point from the beginning of the show, Josh, about you trade these major leaguers, you're going to get a bag of baseballs back in return. Maybe it's time to start trading some of these prospects right now. You know, you got a lot of them down in the minor leagues. Why can't you trade Asa Lacy? Why can't you trade Nick Lofton? Why can't you trade Jackson Kowar? Why can't you trade some of these guys that are down in the minor leagues right now for some proven players at the big league level? If you're a team like Oakland or Baltimore or the Nationals, or who's another team that isn't trying this year that waved the white flag?
The Reds.
Yeah. Another team like that. If they've got some good major leaguers that have a couple of years of a contract left, maybe they would be willing to flip some of those guys for a guy like Asa Lacy or Jonathan Bolin or Alec Marsh or Michael Massey or, you know, whoever. That's where the Royals are going to have to kind of break free from what they're used to doing and be willing to trade some of these prospects for major league players that have a legit amount of service time left to help them at the big league level. Because it's not you got to use your prospects one of two ways. A lot of organizations, the Cardinals, the Yankees, the teams that are consistently on top, use their prospects to trade for proven major league baseball players. The Royals have traded proven major league baseball players for prospects. I don't like that anymore. I want them to take on the mindset of the Yankees and the Cardinals and take some of their prospects, because we fall in love with these guys. They're prospects. Trade them, get proven major leaguers that have a couple of years of service time left that can help you immediately at the big league level. There are enough teams out there that are quote unquote in tank mode and have notified everybody that they're doing that. Let's play that game a little bit.
But you have to have teams that also like your prospects.
That's true too. Yeah. That is true.
And convince them that they're worth liking.
Right. Well, we like them. Why wouldn't they?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Do they?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because everybody, when you talk about trade scenarios, right, with general fans, we want to unload all the crap.
Right. But that you don't get anything back for crap. You're not getting anything back.
But you have to have teams that want your stuff.
Right. And the stuff that the teams want.
In order to get a good trade. So you have to have something that people. So if there is somebody in prospect land that they value,
mm-hmm,
that you haven't used yet or whatever, great. You need to search out and find those teams.
Yeah, like you have Prado and Vinny Pasquantino. Both of those guys are the same player, in my opinion, right? They play the same position. They do the same thing. There's not much of a, well, let's move this guy to third or this guy. You know,
Vinny project more as a DH?
I would imagine.
Prado's a better first baseman.
Probably so. Right? So you say keep both of those guys? I'm not saying trade either one of them, but I'm
no,
just,
but
you know,
I'd probably lean towards keeping the first baseman rather than the guy that doesn't have a position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if Pasquantino's more of a DH that can play some first.
Yeah. You'd look to trade him before you would Prado. I get that.
Yeah.
What about Asa Lacy?
You get the guy that plays first.
Jonathan Bolin.
Asa Lacy. Have we heard anything great about him?
Not so far.
Okay. So does that filter? If you and I have heard that, what have other teams heard about that?
Well, you have to find
somebody that falls in love with somebody that.
Yeah.
That
we love them coming out of the draft.
Fell out of favor somewhere else or whatever. That's the difficult sell. You have to find somebody that loves somebody coming out of the draft and go get them. And then get something in return from them that you like.
So it's tough.
The
name Michael Massey keeps coming up because I heard Vern talk about it the other day, and he was really raving about this guy. I guess he was the Gold Glove second baseman of the minor leagues last year, right? They only give out one Gold Glove in the entire minor leagues per position. Michael Massey got it at second base, so he's the best second baseman in the minor leagues.
Move him.
Trade him.
Move him.
Get rid of him. Gone. get somebody back in return that's proven at the big league level for the Cincinnati Reds or from the Oakland A's or from the Baltimore Orioles or from the Detroit Tigers or from whoever else is in, you know, sell mode right now, go trade Michael Massey right now. That may be your best prospect to trade coming off that Gold Glove type season.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!